why don't we at least get a conversation going? One of the things that I always ask before we get started, which is I think a good thing for you guys to ask when you're calling clients, it turns out coincidentally that it's also what Facebook asks, and it's what's on your mind. So before we get started, what's on your mind?
Well, I will just start with a little thing from the of course, I've seen the videos before and done this before, but I just want to bring this up again. Remember, as an RIA, we don't have what we used to have. The smaller accounts, the ones we couldn't work with, to what's it called again, a wealth center or emerging wealth center or something like that.
Right.
So what we have is a team of relatively new people that have to be trained to work with these clients, which are not the top, say the top 50 clients. Okay. And Ben did an excellent job on putting all the numbers together, which he may have sent around. I think he sent it around. If not, he hasn't, on what our minimum is, what our all the questions you ask. So really,
hi guys.
The structure here is there's no place to go. You've got to, in other words, we're not sending that $100,000 client to a service center. In fact, we got rid of at UBS over 100 clients per year prescription by giving them to other FAs there. In fact, we made an FA there, or to that wealth center. So that's the difference in the structure here. We do have a team that hopefully will be able to take over these clients, many of which have been our clients for 20 years or more, you know, so it's just an aside. I wanted to just mention it.
Sure. Yeah. So Ben, my first question to the group was, what's on your mind? So what's on your mind?
Are you still there, Ben?
I think Ben got frozen.
Ah.
He's in the elevator getting John.
Yes. Got it.
Oh.
Can you guys hear me?
There he is.
Yep, there you are.
Elevator.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay, so, I heard my father. So our business plan, Rob, is phase two of Supernova, is we already gave away 100 clients 5 years ago. I'm building up the support team, and I'm building up the support team, and we're going to hire. Minimum $1 million revenue. I'm going to use the.
Yeah, Ben, we're not hearing you. Sorry.
Why don't you sit down in one place?
Yeah, I think we got a Wi-Fi issue.
There you are. If you just sit in one place, you're okay.
I had to let John into the building. So you guys can't hear me, right?
We can hear you now.
Nobody.
We can hear you.
Okay. All right. So,
right again. We heard you.
What I was saying was that this is phase two of Supernova. So we gave away 100 clients, from 250 to 150. So when I met you, Rob, I walked up to you after the UBS meeting. I said, we have 250 clients. We're the top producers and I have no idea how we're going to grow. And you said, I want to work with you. And, we gave away 100 clients. We're basically at the same level as we were. That's households, but, we have 48 relationships that we, I'm sorry. Let me pull it up here. Pull up some numbers. Let's see what was the question?
What's on your mind?
The question is, what's on your mind?
I don't want to tell you what's on my mind. So Let me focus on Supernova. We have your answers. The target minimum, so you mentioned something about 20%.
Okay.
Which has to do with, you said something about like a target minimum having to do with the top 20% of revenue.
Yeah, target the average of your top 20%.
Okay, you say you're sitting down?
Yeah.
It's 13.5 million.
Okay.
Absolute minimum is 6.1 million. That's of the top 80%. Target number of clients, is 50 for me. And, I would say 70 for new FA hires.
Okay.
We want all state executive clients. We want RSM partners and clients of RSM, which is an accounting firm. We want wealthy small business owners as clients. We want Friedman and Huey, clients. That's another CPA firm that we collaborate with. They're our tax department. We've given them 15 clients. It's time for them to reciprocate. We can expand within some of our top families. So Isaacs and Dreyfus family, maybe they have other successful relatives or, colleagues. The Perlman family, we've never gotten a single referral from them aside from their kids. Zoller Mills family is another one. These are all our top, five relationships. Actually, several of them are related. Our own family is one of our top families. So not including my father and I, a lot of my family members are our clients, and those are our top kind of relationship, family relationships, if we were to speak about that. So those were my notes. I tried to do the assignment for the week.
Good. let's talk about, because I think discussing is niches, and centers of influences, right? So we want to identify, now remember, a center of influence. And one of the things that I'd like everybody to work on is getting the words right. Okay. Cause as Ben and Shelley will tell you, a great idea not being able to be understood is not a great idea. So the reason that Apple was so successful was not because it was as innovative as the next company. It was because it was great marketing.
Wipe down the keyboard.
And so what we're
Ben, you're talking.
Sorry.
One of the things that we want to talk about is making sure that we have our marketing initiatives scripted so that we get the client to understand the value of what it is that we're trying to get across to them. So the first thing you need to do is understand the value of Supernova. What is it that makes Supernova special? So one of the things I want you to be able to do is to articulate your service experience, what it is that your value proposition when it comes to Supernova. And just to reiterate, the reason that we created Supernova was to improve the client experience, to keep from losing clients, not to make it a growth tool. It turned out to be a growth tool. So one of the things that we want you to be able to do is articulate what it is that you do, but also to be able to discuss things like, what is a center of influence? Give me the definition of a center of influence. Well, the definition of a center of influence is someone that likes you, trusts you, and sends you business without you asking. So I want you to list those people as they are today, not as what you'd like them to be. You know, we've given 15 referrals, they've given us none. That's not a center of influence. That's a potential center of influence because they have influence over others. But then until they give us referrals without us asking, they're not a center of influence. They're just an influencer. Okay?
Right. They're not our influencer. Right.
That's right. They're not a center of influence for you. They might be for somebody else. So when I ask that question, Ben, list your centers of influence, that's what I want. I want to know who are the people in the last, I don't know, 5 years that have given you an introduction without you asking.
Yeah, well, Barry Rosenthal is one of those, and he actually specifically asks us to not ask him for, and he gets very mad if you ask him for, if you ask, or if he hears you asking for business, he says, I went my whole career without asking for business, you know, and he did well. You know, our only refute is that we're in the asset management business, so occasionally we're going to ask to manage assets. It's kind of like, if somebody did part of a tax return, he's an accountant, you know, you can't have two accountants doing the same tax return. You could argue that you could have multiple advisors, right? That's what we run into there. But yeah, I hear you. So he's a COI. I mean, recently, he wanted to refer us an entire business, because his friend, an FA, died, and he felt the son was not going to take over the business, that we could buy it out. And it was unsolicited, for example. So that would be, I don't know, 50, 100 million, whatever that was. And so I hear you. He really is adverse to you asking for anything. And he is a center of influence, and I do meet with him once a month. So that's the only individual I've been successful at, really getting the monthly meeting schedule going, that actually likes it, wants it. He wrote about it in a survey, how he likes the monthly meetings. With the one that I mentioned, Bob Jacobson, who's our lead CPA, there was one client that he referred to us, that was confidentially involved in the college scandal in San Diego. Uh-huh. He fled the country to France. It doesn't sound like a great referral. This guy's probably a billionaire and fled the country. And Bob simply asked what our fees were. And he said, no, he can't, he'll balk at that or something like that. What Bob doesn't know, which is why there's still hope, is that we've adjusted our fee schedule over 20 million, over 15 million, you know, that kind of thing. We're not giving it away, but what we found in going head to head with, you know, once you're over 20 million and you're up against Morgan Stanley or any of these places, is they discount the heck out of the fee. Pavlichko could speak to this.
Yep.
where he described a relationship last, I don't know if it was on our call or not, but it was at 18 basis points for 200 million, and that became the bar for CIBC. Okay. So we just have to get with reality at some point here, and you know, if they're going to balk, they're just not going to listen to us. If we say we provide more, you know, at some point they just care about what they pay and they want to get it all, and they're going to give you 50 or 100 million. So we're not in that space. So, that's been our why the door hasn't been opened. And maybe if I go back to Bob and I share our new fee schedule, and say within reason, everything's negotiable. You know, he won't just say we're too high feed and we won't get any referrals, you know? So I hate that, because I've never lowered our fees for really anyone. Occasionally we've gone to 1% from, what would be 1.1 or something like that, you know? But you know, that's where we're at one, we charge a little more because we also manage money. So since we're not outsourcing and we're, you know, I can't tell you how many hours, and what's on my mind this morning is that we're not responding to bond bids. Okay. We manage money. So this is a real this is a real issue. And by the way, we deserve to be compensated for managing it well, thankfully. And therefore we have a higher transparent fee. But if you were to really compare us to our competition, we charge the same or less. Okay. It's just that we're billing to be portfolio managers. And if they're not sophisticated enough to understand that, we lost a client on Thursday that was simply asking about fees. Now it happened to be the son. I tried to supernova the kids, but the son works at PNC Bank in the back office and thinks he knows the business. Finally, the mother was weak enough and, he's POA and he fired us. And I knew we would.
By the way, we made her $450,000 this year.
Yeah. Since Ultimate Advisors, it's been well over $1 million. We've made her most of her money, but that's besides
the point.
Go ahead, Ben. We've lost a lot of clients where we've made them most of their money. I found that's ultimately, and Rob, you could explain to us why it doesn't matter. It does matter, but it doesn't. I mean, but let's get back on track.
It was a special case.
I knew we were going to lose 50% of the assets. I just didn't think it was going to happen where we lose 100% of the assets. Because with one of the kids, we had a relationship. With one of the kids, we didn't. The other one had more influence, disrupted the relationship, and we lost it. All he was speaking about was this first client we've lost since Altman Advisors. So there you go. I went as long as I could. We went as long as we could. We could say it's having to do with health issues with the client, which ultimately, you know, is a real problem. But at the end of the day, it has to do with the son of the client not understanding what we're providing for the fees. And by the way, we're up 19.5% this year with equities and the stock market's up 5%. So if somebody can't understand that you need to pay for that and you'll make more, then frankly, Rob, they shouldn't be our client. Right?
Right.
I don't feel bad. We don't want clients. We don't want clients that don't understand that to have 14.5% of outperformance, you've got to pay 1.25%. Okay. A net of fees with 50% of the market, she's up 9%. Because she's only 50% equities. Of course, we follow asset allocation. So, she's 4% beyond any measurable benchmark net of fees. We provide all these other services and the client doesn't understand, you know, what we're doing for them. I don't want to work for that client anymore. It's okay. We'll find more. Right, Jamie?
Yes. Yeah. No,
There you go. Sorry, go on.
I'm listening intently to that. Do you think the amount of misinformation and, you know, public opinion about stocks, equities at the moment, you know, the Robin Hood brigade that have just changed the market forever, people think they can do better because of all the information that's in popular media and social media? Maybe that's a factor. It's starting to
bend. It's a factor.
Yeah.
It's a factor, but we've seen it before because everything goes in cycles. Because people used to hate stocks and they only wanted ETFs, and now they realize they can outperform with stocks. Like our co-star, right, Rob? Co-star was, you know, to the sky, right? So we can outperform with stocks. And what people are starting to realize is, wait, active management can work when you use your brain. And that's against academia. But what happens is this, it's my father's old phrase, which you may have gotten from somewhere else, Pop. I don't know, because I don't know. I learned them from you, which is, everybody's a genius in a bull market.
You made me about $450,000 on that idea.
You made my day by telling me that. So, so, you know, go on.
You never know. I'm an eager learner and I'm ever searching. And you run into, you waste a lot of time, you go down a lot of rabbit holes. But with that attitude, you also pick up on things. And when I sat there and your friend said he left CoStar and then he came back, and I asked him why he came back, and he said because of our leader. I've never had anybody leave a firm and come back and tell me it was because of the leader. Okay? And that's when I bought the stock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, I bought enough that it was, you know, meaningful position. But, I mean, think about, so, you know, I did that, basically I did that meeting gratis, right? I mean, I didn't get paid for that.
Right.
But,
right.
But think about how I got paid, right?
Right. So, you never know.
You never know where you're going to benefit by relationships. And so when one of the things, Ben, that I've learned since even since talking to you, since we've been not, you know, together, is this idea of being a connector and giving and serving and providing your centers of influence with the necessary tools that they need, necessary information. We're always worrying about when we meet with a center of influence, what are we going to, what value are we going to provide for them today? Well, one of the things we can do is we can figure out what it is that they need, solve their problems by introducing them to other people that will solve whatever it is. You know, we think, well, we're only their financial advisor. No, no, you're their coach. You're their counsel. You're their listen. I want to listen to your issues, no matter what they are, because we have this enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals. And we can therefore refer to you someone that can take care of virtually any problem that you have. You've always talked about this idea of a family office group. Well, with a family office group, that's the basic concept, is that you don't need to go anywhere else. We're going to take care of your family. You bring the issues to us, we'll have the solutions. So how are you doing on your enthusiastically endorsed list?
I call them the special teams. So, excuse me. On an organizational chart, they're like our special teams. They're like our kickers. Okay. So yeah. We have real estate. We've got claims adjuster. We've got mortgage lenders. We've got CPAs. We've got, I'll have to look back at the, Jamie, I've shared this with you. Actually, all of you have shared this with you, but that's basically, we have different professional services that are part of, you know, a service, their own service business, but everything's tied in, and basically I would think of ourselves as the quarterback. We do have, you know, estate planners too, although since we brought a lot of the estate planning in-house, you wouldn't believe this. We just did an estate plan for an attorney that works for the State Department last week. It's so cool. Like, I'm like, wow, we got something here when an attorney says, no, I have to do my estate plan with you. I thought it, and we got through it. I mean, it was remarkable. We figured out how to cut the cost of an estate plan, by over 50%. And the clients love it. For us, it's simpler than a financial plan. It's actually less data. And, we outsource the attorneys at a very minimal cost. We don't make much, but we make something. We make $2,000 net. Per estate plan, not including our time, right? Mm-hmm. But what we're buying is getting so much closer to the clients through that process. It's a very intimate process. And we know Dan Anderson and Pavlichko did this with me. Dan, you could speak to, you brought it up with me after our call with Harrop. Tell us a little bit about that, you know, that intimacy that you heard us go through that day. It took us about 45 minutes, and then we just started entering data.
Dan there?
Dan, you're going to have to come off mute. If there's a tech issue, it's okay. Well, I can speak for us. I just wanted to get us all in on this. Okay.
I might interject while we're waiting. Where we've given 15 clients the CPA firm, the CPA that has given us referral that talks to them month to month, and we know them intimately, is a client. And I think the CPAs, a CPA that is a client knows what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the way, I have our model and the bank model. The bank model is a European model where people walk in the door and ask for help. Nobody walks in the door and asks for help unless they're a referral. Okay. We eat what we kill. That's an old statement. So, CPA who said, "Oh, I've never had to ask for anything." That's because he worked at a CPA firm. They're walking in the door asking for help. Okay. He's not going out, shooting something to eat. So, I wanted to make that clear. And that's a way of getting this other CPA firm, the accountant, the lead accountant, to be a client. I'm just passing that along. So.
Right. So here's what I would suggest is that you take this list, enthusiastically endorsed list, and you make it formal, all right, for the group. So everybody knows who is on the enthusiastically endorsed list.
Smart.
And what I would do, Ben, is these guys on the enthusiastically endorsed list would be theoretically all centers of influence. All right. So this should be a kind of a mastermind group of folks for you guys. So
Jamie, I'm going to go to Jamie for a moment. Jamie, I started, mastermind groups are getting ahead, but it's another, I totally forgot until Rob mentioned it. Mastermind groups are groups of non-competing individuals. That's like my EO organization somewhere,
right,
where we actually establish it. It becomes a free support group, although it's very important what the format is of that group. But often you have a CPA and attorney in the group as a mandatory, and then you have like a couple more people. So, I had a number of people, but it makes me think of one that, Jamie, frankly, you would start and run with, because we know a lot of the same people in common, which is, yeah, you know, Vince, perhaps Dan will, you know, I don't see why he couldn't be. And then, you know, whoever else we decide to have in the group, it just becomes a group that meets once a month. You know, since I'm part of EO now I have a better format for things. You know, we could have, you know, all those premises, you know, that I run the EEO group with, which is shut off your cell phone. This is confidential, and, you know, respect each other and no judgment, basically. And those are among some of the rules of the road of EEO. It's a group that becomes a mastermind group, which I did, Rob, I did run it successfully. Unfortunately, it started a lot of, there was issues with some members of the group. Two of them did not come with me to Altman Advisors. And, surprisingly, one of them just worked at Merrill Lynch, and that became the reason, because his compliance group, you know, just said no to having an account with us. The other was just too unsophisticated to understand how much we were servicing his business for $800,000 in assets, which is okay. I lost a lot of my, you know, my sprouters, or whatever you want to call them, growers, people that were under a million that I thought would be, would have, loyalty to us. But what I found was these guys, once they get to a million, they think they're hot shit. And I'm like, no, we haven't even met our minimum, you know, like, and you know, I ended up losing a lot of those that I spent a lot of time on. And that became a reason for me, Rob, to say, gosh darn it, Rob was right again. You know, we need to start with people with assets, not hope that 600,000 will turn into 6 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what I found was that they didn't, because it also leads to a lack of sophistication when there's a lack of assets. They didn't come with us to Altman Advisors when I said, we're starting your own family office. You know, they didn't understand that you don't log into, you know, you log into TD Ameritrade when you're an independent, because we don't hold the assets. Well, because he didn't see TD Ameritrade on the website right away. He said, I'm not coming with you. Okay. All right. Well, see you later. Right. So yeah. eventually we put the TD login on the website, but the point was that Rob, I was really, hurt and burned, when I started Altman Advisors, cause I lost a lot of these, you know, 30 something, early 40 something, you know, friends that frankly just didn't come with us. And I said, wait a second, why am I working for these individuals? There's other people my age. Now that I'm 40, there's other people my age that have assets, that have made it, right? Let's find them, right?
Right.
So that, just go spend your time on that versus trying to hope that somebody will become a, you know, a gem.
Right.
So.
No, you think you can grow these folks and they earn a lot of money and they save a lot of money and they're going to be great clients eventually. Well, yeah, but they don't understand the value of a concierge experience. You know, they're not
right.
in a position yet to hire a concierge doctor.
Right.
Or pay a CPA to customize and take care of them personally. They don't fly first class. They don't fly, you know, rent private jets. They just, you know, they're still coming. They're eventually
right.
someday they may get there, but by then you'll be retired.
That's you know? Right. And that could be 25% of them because not everybody
right.
does it. So, you know, are we going to take that risk and not get where we want to go, or are we going to get where we want to go? So, you know, I hate it when you're right, Rob.
Well, my advantage is that I see, you know, I look from above, you know,
yeah.
and I see thousands of teams and, you know, I've coached all of the private client groups for Payne Webber and for
UBS.
UBS and other firms, right? I've done international. FAs are very different from us.
Yeah.
You know, they're more like bankers. So,
yeah.
You know, so I've seen a lot and I've seen where, you know, and the advantage this time is we have our book, you know, the Supernova Multiplier. And so for all of you out there that want to understand what we're teaching, the Supernova Multiplier is a must read. Because it will go into each one of the seven strategies that we'll talk about. So when we say, not only is a mastermind group a good idea, here are three or four teams that have used it successfully. Just like you've used, you know, a center of influence successfully. And you understand the value of meeting with a monthly. Most people I talk to don't understand the value of meeting monthly. And I say, you don't understand it. Back to mastermind groups, brilliant
yep.
opportunity today. So much easier, Ben. No dinners, no hassles.
Location, right. No location needed.
Nothing. You just Zoom them together and they meet
yep.
and you share and you get value and you're off the phone.
By the way, Jamie, this is for you initially and then me, if I can bootstrap and get, you know, FAs on board and all that,
yeah,
you know, back to doing it, but it's you would run two mastermind groups. I almost got there. I had one really running and then, I almost started a second. There's basically a theme topic. Like it could be technology or healthcare. Actually, I did start a healthcare one. I did pretty good. I set up a bunch of, I think I did six COIs related to the healthcare field. So I was meeting with doctors, that were retiring and selling their practices. And that became
right.
one of my niches. And then I had a group, another mastermind group that was just, you know, non-competing individuals. But basically, you would think of five or six individuals with a theme, potentially, but we'll get there. It's a group that you would start as a once a month meeting where you guys refer each other business ultimately.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's part of my strategy. Optics aside, that approach definitely is something I'm working on. So interesting to hear you say the same thing.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So, guys, we, just to bring us up to date, it's important that we listen to Rob's videos before the calls so that we have the best questions possible. We did order the books for everybody who doesn't have them. Jamie, I'm sure you know, we ordered you books, so they're going to be here shortly.
Yeah, you told me. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. And then we printed out the workbook. Yep. We printed out the workbook 7 times. Pav, the, binders came in, so
yeah,
have that wrapped up. By tomorrow, we'll have all the workbooks, handed out. So I just wanted to let Rob know where we were on the first week assignments.
Awesome. Okay. One of the things that you all want to do now is to go back to the 5-star model so that I can be competent in coaching you.
Okay.
So we need to know, all right, who's doing what? Who's in charge of what? So
okay.
The 5 stars, just to review, are director of planning, director of implementation, which is your investment model plus your 24-month calendar, your director of brand management, which is the Supernova 12-4-2 model plus problem solving, rapid response team.
Mm-hmm.
Director of marketing, which is your growth component. And then director of leadership, which is overall vision, purpose, mission, where are we going, how are we going to get there, and then the coaching of each individual in order to reach their personal as well as professional goals.
Can we pause for a moment? I just want to adapt one thing. The 24-month calendar, I want to move to planning versus implementation. Would you allow me to do that, Rob?
Sure.
Okay. So that 24-month calendar, Pav, is the topics for the meeting. So if we need a trusted advisor set up, you're the one that would say, this is the quarter we're going to do this.
Okay.
It's Schwab topic. This is the quarter we're going to do the Schwab topic. Okay. So 24-month calendar is just setting, for us, frankly, it's more like a, 16-month calendar. Rob, after 4 years of running around the country and around Robin and all that, I still continue to do it, but I needed a little more time on my operational, because we're portfolio managers. We had to write a market commentary. We had to do billing now as an RIA, and we had to get out reports, which now we've stopped doing. We just send them to the website as efficiency. But four months out of the year is more of an operational month. And so we're only on, I'm sorry to say this, we're only on 8 months, not 12, although, every quarter we travel around the country. That stopped because of COVID. Okay. So that becomes the month where we're literally going to 16 states or 20 states. And so, I was doing 60 appointments a month plus billing, plus reporting, plus market commentary, plus traveling the country. And I had to cut out the 60 appointments a month. The clients are totally cool with that after 5 years, but they didn't even notice. I just tell them our next appointment's in November, not October, but of course we're here for you. So, so basically it's bi-quarterly for us. What we'll have to do is explain it in a specific way. We have 8 appointments a year, 4 reviews, 2 in person, anywhere in the country. And that includes 4, we'll either call it monthly service calls or planning calls, in addition to the portfolio, to the reviews. We'll have to figure out how we wordsmith it. But that's, We're having bi-quarterly meetings instead of, 3 times a quarter, basically.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll push back on that, but that's just.
Okay. You know. Well, you know what? It's because I had too many clients, and you're right again. So once I have
25 clients instead of 30, I got no problem doing 12 months. You know, look at, I lost one of my clients during my off month. Okay. Because we know 90 days is too long to talk to somebody. Well, 60 days is also too long to talk to somebody because somebody else got in and they put in the ACAT.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, that's the price. That's seriously the price that you're, that's what you're risking.
That's the risk. Right. If I had my Supernova call instead of my ACAT call, we might have saved it, you know, because I would have known that there was a health problem with my client.
Right.
Or, you know, we have older clients. We got 60 days is a long time.
Right.
Okay. So at any rate, I'm with you. Once we recruit and we implement the plan, I'm sorry. Once we recruit the two advisors, well, I'll give them each 30, you know, 25 clients that relieves me. We'll be off and running. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
And Ben, the other thing I'd tell you is if you can't do the call, just have a partner do the call, but schedule the call monthly.
Yeah.
You don't have to do 12. I have some people that do 4 and 2 in person and have somebody else do the other 8. So
yeah.
It isn't a matter of, I mean, look, if you feel your time is more valuable in operations, then that's where you should put your time. Now, I would argue with that too.
Right.
I think that you need to be the point person for your clients and you need to be spending. I mean, my FAs and my managers, if you're a manager for me, I would tell you you have 2 jobs and that the rest of it, I don't care about. You have 2 jobs. One is to coach your clients, do more business with your existing clients. And second, I want you to bring in more FAs so that you can do more business. So
yes.
Coach your existing FAs, in your case, your clients and your FAs.
Yep.
And bring in more clients and more FAs. And if you're not doing that, you're doing something that somebody else could do.
Totally agree. And I'd say the reason that I fell off the bandwagon of, you know, of this is I have, by the way, I didn't mention this, but the bottom 20% have 974,000 on average in assets. That's 48 clients. We have 83 clients. It's too much for what I'm doing, where we're doing tax planning, estate planning, insurance planning, liability planning, and investment planning,
right,
and financial planning, and education planning.
Yeah. So the average person doing what you're doing has 25 clients.
Right.
Okay. And they,
right, which
you know,
is
they'll have a $10 million minimum. Mm-hmm. They'll have 25 clients.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I have 83. I have, you know, go ahead.
You know, the beauty of Supernova is that it is rigorous. It's hard to do, but it's incredibly valuable, not to you. It's valuable to the clients. Okay. You're creating value every day when you do Supernova. Now, it becomes valuable to you. But the most important thing is to remember is, I'm doing this for the clients. That's why we have a rapid response team. 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. Multi-generational planning, which you do. Full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. So everybody should be able to sing that song. Okay. Multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? How does that compare to what you're getting now when you're prospecting? So those are the things that are most important to the client. And that little speech is all you need as a value proposition in order to bring in new business. Okay. So
yeah,
you all should memorize that. And then what we'll do is we'll talk about other, I'm working with one guy right now that I've worked with for years, and all we're doing is going back and memorizing scripts. How do you develop a new niche? What's the script exactly? How do you develop a mastermind group? What's the script? How do you develop a center of influence? What's the script? If you want to get on a board or in your community, what's the script? So we're practicing the words, and it's, those are your gold. The words are your gold. You become very smooth, very short, and very powerful. And that's key to being successful in anything you do in the world of influencing others. So put together your, give me your list of who is in what role and responsibility, okay, in the five-star model. So I knew who to, and one of the things we'll do, maybe not immediately for the next few weeks, but in a couple of weeks, we'll have you guys report in on how you're doing in each of the five areas of the, of our powerful five-star model. Okay. So that will help you to be organized around it. Now remember, somebody needs to be, if you're going to move the 24-month, 16-month calendar from implementation to planning, you also are moving the responsibilities of being the training director to planning. Okay? The training director is in charge of preparing the team for the next month's initiative. So think about that. Is that what you want? Okay.
100%, because PAV is our CFP and therefore more holistic for our sense. And John Brick is focused exclusively on investments, right? Can I say that, John?
That works, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if investments means stocks, portfolio management, that's fine. But if investments means all investments and liability management,
it doesn't.
That's different. Okay, so you decide where that fits, and then we'll just you know, I just need to know any adjustments you make to the model, and you might, you know, in your case it's probably brilliant. So, all right, I've got to run.
Okay,
I've got another call, but nice job, congratulations. So what is your actual number you're going to use in order to, you know, when I'm a center of influence, I'm a CPA, and I ask you, what is your minimum? What are you going to tell me?
15 million.
Okay.
I mean, it's 13 and a half. Let me tell you, Rob, when we started 5 years ago, our average was 2.8. It's now 6.1. Okay. So 2.8, if I were to follow the prescription, I rounded it up to three. Okay. We've got 13 and a half. I'm sorry. 13 and a half doesn't have much of a ring to it.
No.
We can either say 10 to 15. We can either say 10 to 15, which it does. Okay. Or we can say 15. I'll ask our director of marketing, Jamie, what would you prefer? 10 to 15 or just go to 15, or what do we do?
Yeah, 10 to 15 is fine. I mean, I think that's more realistic. Yeah, 13 and a half is a little arbitrary, isn't it? Yeah.
I like the 15 because everybody has a $10 million minimum. If you have a $15 million minimum, that puts you in rare air. And it just says, it says we're that much better than everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with that. Creating demand by being reassuringly exclusive is a big, big part of the pitch. I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big
deal. It's wild. And we all know that our absolute minimum is six. So why do we have to say 10 to 15? Right? Let's just say,
let's just go with it. If 2.8 we rounded up to, which is not that different on a percentage basis, 2.8 we rounded up to 3, which was a 7% difference. Then 1.5 into 13.5, the numbers, it's almost the same. It's 11% difference. So,
and you should all be very proud of that, by the way. You should be very, yeah. You should tell everybody your minimum 15 million.
Wow. Look at that. I thought it was going to be 10 last week, but we did the work and, it was closer to 15. So there.
It's a reason for celebration, Ben.
Oh, okay. All right. Right well, after I get this bond order done.
If we stay on the call long enough, it might go up to 20. You never know.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care, Rob. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.